Pro teams have millions to spend, and they don't always spend them wisely. But when it comes to a great shave, you don't have to shell out tons of cash. Harry's saw customers getting ripped off by the shaving industry, with overpriced, underperforming products, and decided to do something better. They found their own way to make beautifully designed razors for a fraction of the price of the other big brands, so you never wonder if you overpaid. Harry's shaving products look great, and the weighted handle makes shaving feel great too. I like to keep my beard neat, and Harry's always leaves me with a smooth yet crisp shave. Harry's quality is top-notch, thanks to German-engineered blades made in their own factory that stay sharp longer. You can get a 5-blade razor, weighted handle, foaming shave gel, and a travel cover for just $3 at harrys.com/bluewire. And Harry's has the highest customer satisfaction in the shaving industry, plus a convenient subscription option that you can cancel at any time. Getting the best doesn't mean spending the most when you shave with Harry's. Get started with a $13 trial set for just $3 at harrys.com/bluewire. That's harrys.com/bluewire for a $3 trial set.
Welcome to episode 99 of the Talking Hockey Podcast. We didn't record it, but there was a good debate going on for about 15 minutes before us clicking record. Awkward silence. Ty Luke Martin Eric here.
I was waiting for you to say something.
I thought you were going to keep going, but you just stopped.
You didn't finish your thought. So.
My brain is not working today, man.
You're just like, there was a great debate on.
Okay. Eric, Martin, stop shouting into your microphones.
Okay? I know, bro. Look, you got to see these guys' lines over here.
Yeah, their lines are peaking.
I noticed that. Right,
yeah, Martin, cool. Ever since Martin figured out how to connect to his mic, he didn't figure out how to turn it down.
Welcome back, everyone, to the Talking Hockey Podcast. It's your favorite. Producer Luke here to remind you to follow and subscribe on whatever streaming service you use. Leave a review on Apple, visit our website, talkinghockeypodcast.com, and follow us on Instagram at Talking Hockey for daily content. Now, let's get into today's episode with your favorite group of guys, Luke, Eric, Ty, and Martin.
So we did get some news today in the hockey world, finally. Craig Berube signed to a three-year contract. But the bigger news, Martin St-Louis in as the Montreal Canadiens coach and Ducharme out. I don't think anyone saw that hire coming. And
yeah,
it's pretty interesting, I think. We'll get started. We'll open with that. But who has any initial thoughts?
It's interesting that they went for a guy who I'm pretty sure has only coached Pee Wee.
No, they literally hired a Pee Wee coach. That's not. No. I mean, that's. It sounds like a joke, but it's not a joke because
it's not a joke.
That's who he was coaching. 13-year-old
Pee Wee Triple A though.
His son, apparently.
And his current role was something like special teams assistant to the Columbus Blue Jackets, something along those lines.
Yeah,
he did have like a special assistant role somewhere.
It came out of left field. I mean,
it did.
There's no okay. When I was looking at Montreal,
Overdrive was saying he's buddies with Gorton, like good buddies.
Yeah, well, probably
that makes sense.
Ever since the that whole New York thing, I wouldn't be surprised. I also heard this is before I get into it about Montreal, and we can kind of talk about where everything went wrong. I was reading somewhere some Rangers insider said that. The Rangers offered to have him as like head coach of their AHL team or something along those lines, or assistant coach, back in like 2017 or 2018.
St. Louis.
He declined it. Yeah, Marty St. Louis. And he declined it. That's the insider rumors, which would all again make sense if you're saying that he was buddies with Gorton. Basically that was shortly thereafter he retired. I think he retired like about 2015 or 2016, somewhere around there. And they were going to hire him as, a coach in 2017 or 2018.
Do you guys think it's a good hire from Montreal?
It's not what
He's
I
French.
Would expect.
I have my take in a second, but I want to hear it.
So I think when we were talking about them firing Bergevin and bringing in their Kent Hughes as their GM, right? Like this new regime that's come in seems to be, good with taking things out of left field almost, right? But this is especially out of left field because there's one thing for hiring someone who's like, a good AHL coach, giving someone an opportunity who isn't a rehire, who isn't, you know, a Peter Chiarelli passed around as, you know, GM for, you know, 8 different teams and is still interviewing, even though he's failed at multiple places in his career, right? This time will be different sort of thing, right? There's a huge difference than to, you know...
Interviewing for Chicago.
Yeah, exactly.
Or something.
Maybe we'll get into
Martin,
that later.
Back up from your microphone or turn it down.
Sorry.
But,
you're so
but like,
loud.
What you would expect, especially for a team that's like very clearly on a rebuild, especially with rumors that, you know, Carey Price might never play again. There's been a whole bunch of him, you know, interesting quotes directly from him, where if you kind of read between the lines, he's kind of hinting, okay, I may never come back. They're literally playing the worst goalie in the NHL. They're running tank lineups out there. You would think that if they were going to bring in a new coach, firstly, I thought they were going to keep Ducharme till at least the end of this season, right? And then, you know, once that happens, you clean house, because who cares? It's pointless, right? The season's done. Who cares? But, and then maybe hired someone who's like an assistant coach, or, you know, give someone from the AHL, you know, an opportunity, someone who who's like a new coach, give them the opportunity out here, who at least has coaching experience, right?
Yeah. I do agree with you that it's, you know, we harp a lot on just hiring the same old guys, and clearly this is out of left field, so we can't really go at it for that angle. It does seem like another kind of old boys club hire in a lot of ways, with it being like, but I mean, Marseille St. Louis was a very skilled player. It seemed like he was one that knew and understood the game at an IQ that was higher than a lot of other players.
Game IQ was incredible.
And so I, for that reason alone, I think it's interesting. I mean, he's interim. He's only signed to the end of the year. It's a very low risk, potentially high reward play that I think is clever for a team that is tanking. I think it's very outside the box for anything we've ever seen. And for that reason alone, I respect it and think it's interesting. I just don't know what it's going to get you. And for me, I would be insulted if there's so many other people in AHL jobs being like, they got passed over by a guy who's like never coached a professional game in their life. So from that angle, I think I would be more annoyed, but at the same time, the same thing probably happens in front offices. Like Niedermeyer got hired.
But he's been working there.
Danielle Briere like got hired. I know, but it's
Briere's
like
Briere's been working too. Like Briere was the GM of the ECHL team or something.
It's still like these guys go to like management positions right away. I mean, like now they're with the NHL teams.
So
but
I think a similar situation is Brendan Moore in Carolina, but he was like assistant coach for 7 years, right? He got the opportunity, sure, in Carolina, but to be their head coach, he's like their franchise icon, former NHL player, and that's worked out extremely well for them, right? So maybe if you're Montreal, you're hoping that same sort of success happens here. But there's a difference because he was like, he actually...
Something like happened between like Ducharme and like management or something?
No, I think they just realized Ducharme was never a good coach
There was never a doubt in anyone's mind. If you looked at it last year, like
he was getting fired.
Literally, if Montreal lost in that first round to Toronto, there's no way Bergevin comes back. There's no way Ducharme even comes back, right? They were gone.
The record with Ducharme last season was worse than with Julian.
If you're an assistant coach on this team, are you kind
until
of
until the
like,
playoffs?
Are you kind
I'm pissed.
Of ticked?
I'm Alex Burrows. I think Alex Burrows is the assistant coach there, right?
But they also suck, right? Like he was their power player.
Yeah, exactly.
Like he's brutal, right?
Yeah.
And also, but I think we also have to remember that like Gretzky wasn't a good coach either.
Right, yeah. that's a good point. Yeah.
you can be amazing. You can be inspirational. You can be one of the smartest hockey players of your time, which I think St. Louis was. If you know.
Do we think St. Louis wants to be a coach? Because this isn't really a
yes.
Make
yeah,
a move
obviously.
To be a coach move. Like
this
you're
is 100%. This is 100% a way to become it. He just jumped 10 levels of coaching.
But he's
going
to suck in his first
year. But he's not going to... But here's the upside. Here's the upside and here's the downside. Upside, he does okay. And maybe he's coached next season. And once you're okay in the NHL, you have a job for life.
This is true.
The worst case scenario, they fucking continue to do just as bad as they have been doing. They can't be any worse. They're on a negative 145 goal differential pace right now. Okay? 145 goal negative differential. They have like a 32% goal share, something like that. It's the, you know, that's image I sent you guys. It's like the, one of the ninth worst NHL season of all time. Along with, like, you know, Detroit 2020.
They suck.
And a couple Tampa 1989 like really, before even Tampa like knew was exactly. Knew what hockey
so
was.
So like they can't do any worse. So worst case scenario, they stay exactly the same, which means that, you know, he does fine. Maybe he gets fired at the end of the year. And guess what? He goes to the AHL next, but he still jumped five levels before the AHL, right? Like he
that's
was
why I think
under
it's,
13.
It's a low risk, high reward in a lot of ways. Like he might bring a level of skill and just being like, guys, go and be as creative as possible.
Exactly.
But,
low risk, high reward for both teams.
Yeah.
For Montreal and for St. Louis. So it's a win-win deal in that sense.
And I think Gorton came in and
gets to be a coach.
Kent Hughes? Yeah, like I think those guys owed no loyalty to Ducharme. They weren't his hires at all. Like they already cleared house with Bergevin. Like the whole offseason by Montreal is exact proof of trust. Like just the results are not always as a result of the process. Like you can get lucky. And that's all what Montreal has been over the last year. And this is what every analytics person, what anyone with a brain has been saying. Like your process do matter. Like that's why the Leafs, I think a lot of people have faith is because their process looks good and their results aren't great. And that's why they didn't fire Dubas this year, is because the process was still there. Sure, there were some bad choices. Keith, great decisions most of the time, bad results. Montreal is the exact opposite. Great results, terrible decisions.
Until this year,
Until this year.
Ducharme was like the worst coach in the league, though. So when, you know, basically when you hire a new
coach,
you can't
worse,
get any, no, like,
but
honestly,
he wasn't, yeah.
It was unreal, like some of the decisions that he made even last year, right? Like the lineup decisions. You know, the lineup
seem
that
really bad
this year. The strategies
he
this
seems
year.
Really bad.
Like, and we were all pointing them out last year. It just randomly ended up working anyways.
Because
somehow.
Carey Price figured
and
out
how to
shoot.
It was luck.
He got,
you know,
goalied
they got goalied
the right
and maybe some extra shooting from some other guys. Top of the lineup players like Gallagher.
Tyler
and,
Toffoli scored like what?
Toffoli.
It was like a 40-goal pace last year, right? Something like that.
Yeah, exactly. So like some luck of the draw and goalieing. And, you know, again, we told the amount of DMs I got saying Ducharme isn't a bad coach. Look at his record. Look what he did in the playoffs. And now look, and, you know, it was obvious from the start. But, yeah, again, I actually do like the move for Montreal because, again, like Luke said, it's low risk, high reward for both
but like
team and coach.
I mean, I just think that you'd at least hire someone who, you know, I mean, he's played in the NHL, so maybe he knows, you know, coaching strategies and whatever, right? But, like...
Yeah, he knows how to coach. I don't know if he knows how to coach at the NHL level, but... But they can't be worse. Like, the worst-case scenario, they continue to do what they're doing.
Like, it's just odd. Like, you saw who was rumored if they were going to fire him. Like, Patrick Roy, I don't know. Their assistant coach, Luke Richardson, for example, right? Maybe you give him a shot. Because there's no way they lost 7-1 to the Devils. I don't know if anyone's watched the Devils this year, but from what I've seen, they're like the worst team I've like in the league, right?
Mm-hmm.
That they got lit up by the. I just remember just before the All-Star break, it was
the Leafs beat them 7-1.
It was like it was 5-0 after the first, and it could have been like 8-0. And.
Yeah. And they just got
they
creamed
got blown
7-1
out, the 7-1
other night, or 7-2.
After the Devils are coming off a back-to-back. I don't even know who their goalie is. Mackenzie Blackwood is out, right?
That is an embarrassing loss. Like, it's really
bad. They just lost 4-1 the night before to Ottawa, right?
Mm-hmm.
Or 4-0, something like that, 5-0. And then they come into Montreal the next night and beat them 7-1.
Montreal's on, like, 9 days rest or something, I heard. Like, they should have been
raring
to go.
Everything with that franchise has like fallen apart. Like you look at their playoff run last year, their goalie is out and may never play again. Their captain and, you know, even though he was 34 years old, he was still their best defenseman. Shea Weber never playing again. Jeff Petrie forgot how to play hockey. You know, Gallagher
really
got injured again.
Forgot how to play hockey.
Gallagher got injured again.
And he and Petrie did go on a bit of a hot streak last year too to even help him get in the playoffs. Remember, he was on like a 30-something goal pace, like point per game. Like he was killing it, and then remember we were pointing to the shooting percentage and going, "This isn't gonna last." And then you know, back half it regressed.
But he literally hasn't done anything either. Like,
and
he's
they have
sucked in every other matter.
They have awful contracts on the books, like Gallagher's contract.
This is well deserved, like I said in the group chat.
Josh
this
Anderson,
is
yeah, this is.
This is 7 years of Bergevin sucking.
Yeah, this is the owner's fault. Like, they just kept letting him screw up more and more. And luckily, last season, he failed uphill somehow. It rarely happens, but it
really
does.
The really funny thing is there's two Canadian teams undergoing this, and they're pretty much in the same shit situation, except Vancouver has better players. Which is the other team in this situation.
Yeah, actually, I did want to talk about Vancouver because, you know.
I want to keep going about Montreal. Give me a little bit more time.
No, I wasn't trying to switch topics. Yeah,
Eric
I was just
was.
Saying.
I had some things to say about that.
Yeah. We can go to Vancouver in a second and Edmonton.
There was just some interest. Okay, yeah, we'll go. But yeah, Ty, continue with
what was I going to say? Like,
we have to do a shout out because I don't think we ever did, which is kind of embarrassing on our part.
About what?
Yeah, what shout out for what?
Rachel Dory, who was on our show twice, getting a fucking job with Vancouver.
Okay, did we talk about it?
I don't think we did.
I thought we did. Maybe it was offline, though.
Yeah,
we definitely did offline. We definitely did in the group chat. But
where was I? Where was I going with this? Okay. Last year, the amount of hype that Montreal got, like Nick Suzuki's the next Patrice Bergeron, Cole Caulfield's going to score 40 goals this year, right? I don't know.
Now
going to be a shutdown defenseman.
Wait, Montreal media on Twitter is already asking, is Nick Suzuki overpaid? or will the contract look bad in 5 years?
I love how it was like the steal of the century like 2 months ago or 3 months ago, and now it's... You know, is this a regretful
Cole Caulfield
contract?
Is not even taller than his coach, even though they hired another.
Yeah, I know. That's crazy.
Do you think that's partially why they did it, just for St. Louis coach Caulfield?
They literally hired Martin St. Louis to spend the next 3 months coaching a small guy how to play hockey again.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, it was all for
St. Louis can play.
Yo, if you could get Caulfield playing like St. Louis, like that's
yo Martin
St. Louis when he retired.
Turn down your mic, bro.
St. Louis, when he retired, he could still be playing.
Yeah, you're like
really
leaning
uncomfortable. Like, I can't lean.
This is better already. This is better. This is better already.
That's fine.
Yeah, this is better.
Yeah, it's just and to think that like if you were a smart organization, you would have fired Bergevin. You would have fired Ducharme after, you know, even after making the Stanley Cup Finals, as crazy as that is.
Yeah, they gave him a 3-year contract at $1.5 million a year.
What did he show?
And they're
other
still
than that
paying
playoff
Paul Julian $5 million up until the end of this year. Like, the amount of money going out on coaches that aren't.
To be fair, it's the same that Leafs are giving Babcock for one coach.
That's true.
So,
that's true.
If not less. So.
Well, you know what? That's money well spent in my eyes.
I agree, and they can afford it. So can Montreal.
Montreal can afford it, too.
I mean, Claude wasn't a bad coach. I mean, that's kind of – that was just –
Claude was worth it. He actually did a good job. Like, with what he was given, Montreal was very good.
If he came, he got ran
out of town for some reason.
If he came in today, he would have turned Montreal into a possession monster again like they always were.
Yeah. Exactly. That's the worst part. Montreal isn't even – like, not – they don't even dominate in possession anymore. Like, that's how bad Ducharme has been.
Under Claude, they
could have just been
like
guys, do what Claude told you to do, and they would have had some success. But
just continue.
I don't know if Ducharme will ever be hired again. Maybe he will because
he will. He will.
I don't know. At the same time,
I think he goes back to junior. He had a pretty successful career.
Yeah,
probably goes the AHL assistant coach route, and he'll get another chance. I think. He went to a cup final. Remember that. That's all people remember.
Yeah.
I don't know.
I don't know. His legacy's pretty bad.
He was going to get fired before that. And I feel like that was pretty known around
but
the league.
I mean, maybe you're giving more credit to GMs than I will. But.
Where does Montreal go from here, Eric? What did they do? They hope they get Shane Wright.
Eric.
It's a rebuild, man. It's a rebuild. They could end up with Shane Wright, which would be the best case scenario for them. Or, one of the other top three guys in that draft. But yeah, it's just rebuild. They just tear it. They should have torn it down already after the cup because that was the time to sell high. Now they're selling low on everybody instead of high on everybody. So, guaranteed they've lost massive assets because of that, right? Imagine right after that cup run, you try to trade Ben Chiarot, you try to trade Jeff Petrie, you try to trade Gallagher, you try to trade any of those guys, like gigantic returns you would have gotten for a lot of those guys after that cup run. Now they're not, people are still saying Chiarot might get a first or something like that.
A first and a top prospect, yeah.
I can't see that happening unless some GM's really, really dumb. But yeah, they have to tear it all down. I mean, I have to open up their cap friendly to even see the mess that they're in. But their prospect pool isn't even that great anymore now that they've graduated a couple of their guys. Like Suzuki isn't a prospect anymore. Caulfield's kind of still a prospect, but regardless, and a lot of their guys haven't really, Jesse Ylönen hasn't really turned out. Teasdale hasn't really turned out yet. Norlander, we'll see what happens with him. Josh Brook doesn't look like he's going to be a major player. Like, there's a lot of the young guys prospects that had a lot of potential 2 years ago, but they haven't really made too much out of them, and that's fair. That happens all the time in every single organization, but they don't have a lot of great prospect assets. Like, I wouldn't put them in a top 10 pool right now.
I don't feel like they have a lot of like star power coming up. Like, yeah.
I mean, Caulfield can still be that guy.
I never believed it.
I'm not writing him out because I won't write him out like Ty does. Ty might be right.
I mean, you want to know who's? Don't cancel me for saying this. Logan Mailloux might be their best prospect. He's lighting up the OHL right now. I know.
He is. I have seen
but
that.
But he's like probably their best prospect. Maybe Caden Gooley. I mean,
Caden Primeau's definitely.
What does fan of the show Adam say about Logan? Let's put Adam under the hot.
Story. Yeah, I mean, that Adam said that like he's lighting up. All I see are like the Twitter clips when he blows up because he scores a goal or something like that, right? You know what I mean?
Everyone gets mad,
and
Caden Primeau though, Montreal over the last two seasons, oof. He has, in the AHL, he's done very well, generally speaking. But in the NHL, last year he had 4 games with a 4 goals against average and a 840
save percentage. He didn't
look ready
at all last year.
Yeah. And then this year, 4.6 goals against average. And
I mean, they're tanking.
8.7 save percentage.
No one's helping him out there. So, I mean,
I know. It's not his fault. And he's done well in the AHL. Like, I'm just looking at his numbers. Like, he did okay. But this isn't the best way to develop a goalie either, letting him just get torn to shreds every single night.
I mean, but like their only other goalie is Samuel Montembeau, and he's you sent the player card this
partly
year,
because
man.
Of injuries, partly because Montreal should be able to just go and get another goalie. Like, I don't think the right solution here is letting Primeau die every single night.
he's getting the backup minutes, like. How many wins did this year? 8 wins? 11 wins?
Allen's hurt, so that's.
Well, I mean, Jake Allen wasn't doing very much, wasn't doing much better.
But he could at least be the one getting shelled instead of Primeau.
It's true. That is true. That is true. He's, let's see here. Yeah, he's done better this year. He has a 3 goals against average and a 900 save percentage, which is, not awful for Montreal.
I don't
think
he's played for like 2 months, though.
No, he hasn't played for a while.
All right, boys, I think it's time to get off Montreal. Okay. And we can go on to...
I wanted to talk about Vancouver.
Yeah,
I was going to say...
Yeah.
What were you going to say? Because there's some news that is breaking right now about them.
Oh, okay, well, go to the news first.
And now we'll be back after a word from our sponsors.
Pro teams have millions to spend, and they don't always spend them wisely.
But when it comes to a great shave, you don't have to shell out tons of cash. Harry's saw customers getting ripped off by the shaving industry with overpriced, underperforming products and decided to do something better. They found their own way to make beautifully designed razors for a fraction of the price of the other big brands, so you never wonder if you overpaid. Harry's shaving products look great, and the weighted handle makes shaving feel great too. I like to keep my beard neat, and Harry's always leaves me with a smooth yet crisp shave. Harry's quality is top-notch, thanks to German-engineered blades made in their own factory that stay sharp longer. You can get a 5-blade razor, weighted handle, foaming shave gel, and a travel cover for just $3 at harrys.com/bluewire. And Harry's has the highest customer satisfaction in the shaving industry, plus a convenient subscription option that you can cancel at any time. Getting the best doesn't mean spending the most when you shave with Harry's. Get started with a $13 trial set for just $3 at harrys.com/bluewire. That's harrys.com/bluewire for a $3 trial set.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
And now we'll get back into the show. Elliot Friedman tweeted out 27 minutes ago that Hockey Hall of Famer Cammy Granato, which is Ray Ferraro's wife, will be joining the Vancouver Canucks front office as AGM. She's been scouting for the Kraken. So that will be two women as AGMs of the Vancouver Canucks, which I think one was breaking history. Two is definitely groundbreaking. I don't think they have a GM yet either.
It says Patrick Alvin is their GM,
right? Oh, right. They did hire Patrick Alvin as their GM, right? Yeah. I forgot about that.
Alvin.
Man. It's not Alvin in the chipmunks?
It looks like they're bringing in some woman power. I mean, it's nice to see.
Yeah.
Compared to the old regime.
Yeah. Anyways. I wonder how that will, like...
I mean, I think... I don't know anything about Ray Ferraro's wife. But what's her name?
She's Cammy Granato. I'm pretty sure she's a Hockey Hall of Famer. I'm pretty sure she played on United States hockey
in like the Olympics and stuff. I mean, compared to anyone else, I'm sure she's just as qualified as anyone else out there that the Canucks have hired in the past. And we all know Rachel Dory, who's a super smart all-star pod favorite.
Yeah.
So I like all the hires that this guy's been making, I guess, so far.
Yeah, she was captain of the team in 1998.
Yeah, she's a trader though. She's a Canadian trader, I'm pretty sure.
No, she says she was born in the States.
Oh, well.
Good job, Ty.
So Ty's gonna get us kicked off Spotify for disinformation.
Misinformation.
Well, you guys correct me really quickly, so.
Yeah, we're fact checking on this podcast. We're already better than some other famous podcast in the news right now.
Who has a producer named Jamie or something like that?
Yeah, producer Luke. Yeah.
Producer Luke's better than Jamie is a fact. Yes. But anyways, what I wanted to talk about with Vancouver was, obviously they made some great hires. I only know Rachel Dory, so I can't speak about
the other AGM. What was her name they hired?
We were just talking. The agent. What was her name?
Yeah,
she sounds pretty smart. She sounds like a good.
She's the one with like 3 degrees, right?
Yeah, she sounds like a good.
Yeah, she's the one that's overqualified and should for the Canucks to be working there.
Foot in the door, like, to be honest.
Oh, yeah, I'm not saying don't take the job. I'm saying she's probably smarter than the guy she's working for.
Emily,
that's what I'm saying.
Emily Costangay?
Yeah, that's her. Costangay.
Costangay? Yeah, her.
Does Vancouver have more women in their front office now than, like, any other, than, like, 80% of the teams in the league?
Probably other than the Leafs, for sure.
Two female assistant GMs and Rachel Dory. I don't think she's leading their analytics department. I think she's a part of it. Could be wrong, but
she was a pretty big, like, Elliot and Jeff mentioned her because Jeff's
the Canucks even tweeted out like article profile saying, you know, they had an interview with her and everything like that. It was on NHL.com. So it was all three of those were actually pretty publicized.
Yeah, it was a pretty public.
But
hire.
The reason they're publicized so much is it's great for them individually, but it's a bad thing because you know that there's so few women that they hire that they purposely the only reason this is big news is because there's so few women that are hired. You know what I mean? Yeah.
I think so. Rachel's also done a good job of building up like a Twitter fan base that gives her a lot of,
and clearly she has a lot of relationships with people in different NHL organizations, and she has a lot of public work, and she's been doing her master's and writing a bunch of different, doing a bunch of different research in different areas. And I talked to her about it. I think we talked about it briefly. I'm not sure if it was on the podcast or off of it. But clearly a lot of those teams are interested in some of her work because now she's actually making some of it private. Reportedly, from what I've seen. So
interesting. Yeah. It'll suck that we probably won't be able to get her on the podcast anymore. But if we want to have someone from the Vancouver Canucks organization.
Never mind. I won't say what I want to say. You have a new scout? You have a new scout? No, you have to do it.
Good story, Ty.
Good story.
What I wanted to just kind of it's mean what I'm going to say, so I'm not going to say it.
Okay. Oh my God. Say it in the group chat. Good talk.
I'll say it in the group chat. Yeah.
Okay. What I was going to say, what I wanted to talk about with the Canucks was, they're clearly going to be most likely sellers at the deadline, it seems, right now, based off of where they are.
Oh, they could get a return for Miller.
Yeah. So Miller is the one that everyone's talking about. 2 more years on his contract, so he's not just a rental. $5.25 million contract, so easily digestible by most teams. New York Rangers have a ton of cap space, and I think they've been the ones that have been
and
most.
And Vancouver can afford to retain at this point.
They can retain. He has 46 points in 45 games. He's been very good this year. He's been a beast offensively for them for multiple years now. 72 point season.
And he's a playoff
69
guy.
Games, 46 points in 53 player. Games. Yeah, he's basically been point per game over the last 3 years. So, he'll 100% have some value. And that's kind of it. Honestly, that's the only real guys they have that they can sell off.
But he's the best one in a while. Like, best pickup you could get in a long time.
Like a trade deadline
rental player.
Yeah, he's definitely one of the better ones out there, for sure. I think we already talked about Dallas and how interesting their offseason could be if they decided, or how interesting their deadline could be if they decided to pack it in, because Pavelski, Radulov, and Klingberg all on expiring deals. That's like 3 or 4 first round picks all in there together, basically, in terms of value.
Determined they shouldn't pack it in.
Yeah, they shouldn't, but it'd be interesting if they did. But also, Boudreau basically came out and said, this team doesn't have, the essence of what he said was, this team doesn't have enough skill. We have to play low event hockey. And, they're going to have to eke out 2-1 wins. Playing defensively.
I don't like the sound of that, man. That's crazy. But you want to know something? I think Bruce Boudreau is a great coach.
Is he wrong? I think he's right. You look at that team outside three or four guys. They don't have a
But he is okay. Your favorite player on the Canucks is Nils Höglander, who is being scratched by Bruce Boudreau and being routinely called out by him. Vesily Podkolzin, same sort of thing. Scratched, not getting the opportunity.
If they waste Höglander after the season he had last year.
Bruce does not seem like a rebuilding coach. Sorry.
He's a good coach. I've always thought of him highly. He's a good coach.
But rebuilding, maybe not.
Ever since he came into the Canucks, they've looked, eons better than they were under Green.
Höglander's still on pace for 30 game or 30 points, right? So he's not I know he's getting Has he been getting scratched?
I think he's been. I've seen that he's been getting scratched.
I don't think
scratched.
He's been getting scratched.
Someone look it up. Someone
I think he's been getting really, really low minutes.
Someone check his game log. Been,
yeah.
I think that Bruce also called him out.
I think he got scratched like once or twice. I think Ty is correct.
Yeah, maybe. I mean, I'm not saying I don't think he's been regularly scratched.
The low minutes
is the issue. He's getting 8, 10, 12 minutes a night.
Like, you want to talk? Like you want to say you have to play low event hockey? Like, I mean, you don't have to. This season, I mean, the Pacific Division stinks. You could probably sneak in if you go on, you know, another hot run like they did when Bruce was first hired, right? Like they won like 7 games in a row, I think, you know, as soon as he was hired. Maybe you get another streak like that. Maybe you can sneak into the playoffs just because of how bad the Pacific Division is, right? Outside of Vegas.
He's getting scratched and playing like 9.
Yeah.
9.
So what I'm saying is like you don't need to play low event hockey because you can, you know, play your young players who are good at generating, you know, high danger scoring chances like Hoglander was, I guess, last year especially, right?
The his argument was, and I do tend to agree with him, is that if he didn't come into the Canucks to rebuild, he came to the Canucks to try to get them into the playoffs, right? Or at least make them succeed, right? Like, that's the reason they hired him. They didn't hire
him
because...
What else would a coach say?
That's true. But given what he was hired for, I think playing low event hockey is the only way for the Canucks to win. They aren't gonna, you know, play the way Florida does, right? Run and gun. They won't win that way. And Boudreau also isn't a coach that does that, right?
But
you look
his
at all
teams
the,
are...
Minnesota played exactly the way, you know, like he has a style as a coach, right?
Just high
hockey.
He
runs good offense. Not saying he doesn't run good offense.
Right.
Boring hockey.
Runs
right? Difference.
Runs good.
Difference.
Like, not necessarily.
Carolina.
Like
Rod Vindemore. Yeah. Boring hockey, but high. Lots of offense too. Right.
Yeah.
They still score 4 or 3 point something goals a game. Like, high scoring, but as we talked about when we were Carolina versus the Leafs, it's like one of the most boring teams to watch in the NHL, unless Aho is doing something really fun, basically.
Yeah.
So yeah. Anyway,
yeah. So I think Vancouver was in an interesting spot. Next,
they're
I think is
like Montreal that kind of got screwed up.
Yeah.
Is all I'm saying.
They kept Benning for like incredibly
too long. Like 5
years. It's insane how the goalposts kept moving, how they kept him in this, you know, this position for so long, where in 2014 he came in and said we're gonna, you know, be competitive in 2016, and then in 2017 he's like, you can't rebuild overnight.
Yeah we've been here.
That's just crazy.
So we're gonna move to the next topic now. Producer Luke is making sure that we talk about many topics tonight. The next one I think we should talk about is Brad Marchand. So I'm looking at Twitter again. According to a Pittsburgh beat reporter,
to be
suspended 6 games per source. Marchand will be suspended 6 games by the NHL for his roughing, high sticking Tristan Jarry in last night's game. That seems like a lot. I wasn't really expecting that much. Like, I know he's a repeat offender and he sucks, but we'll let Martin go first because it's his favorite player. Martin, do you have any defense for Brad right now or no?
I don't know if it should have been 6 games. It's probably because he's a repeat and a repeat, like, for this type of stuff. Like, maybe not per se sticking people in the face. But didn't he have a stick to the groin on some person too? So
yeah, he's had like sucker punches to the back of people's heads.
So
when they're down.
I think it is to tell him to like shut up. You need it. And his coach got like the coach, I don't know if you saw Cassidy's comments or saw his presser after that game. He was not impressed. Like, he didn't outright say, like, Brad fucked up. But he was like, Brad's a leader on this team. That's not what leaders do, pretty much. Like,
oh, okay. I didn't see any of that on Twitter.
That's not good. No. And it's definitely, it's a long suspension, but fair for this type of guy.
Yeah.
And he needs to stay away from that shit. Like, that's not who he needs to be anymore. And I don't know why he... Did you see, like, what led to it? Like, him knocking the puck off
Jari stick.
Emotional, yeah.
So I saw
like
that
it was literally just skating by. Jari was like tossing a puck to a person in the crowd.
I don't know when that was in terms of the game, but there was on that same shift, the
period or something.
On the same shift that Marchand did that, Jari took a swipe at someone on the Bruins in front of the net. And I thought that might have been his response to it. But I did see Marchand stopping.
That is just
like,
funny.
Why would you stop the – that's funny at the same time. Like, why would you stop a kid getting a puck, you know? Like,
yeah, for sure. But there was two Boston fans there, and they loved it.
Well, obviously.
They loved that he did that.
That's very Boston behavior.
But I bet Marchand was kind of – he saw that there was two Boston fans there, and he was kind of playing to them. Like, probably. I feel like it – and then
but still stupid.
And then Jari probably said something to him because it probably. Seemed like he was provoked.
They were mouthing each other off as they went back to the bench. Yeah.
And then, like, right before Marchand punches him, which, like – he's getting suspended for both actions, right? He kind of sucker punched him and him in the face.
Yeah, then,
stick.
Yeah. That was, man,
but I bet Jari was saying something pretty ruthless, I would guess.
Probably, but like that's what Marchand does too. He gets on people's skin. He says ruthless stuff all the time. Like, this is the thing.
I don't know. Like, Marchand is a chirper, so he knows lines that should be crossed. And Mary Jari just isn't a chirper and doesn't know lines that shouldn't be crossed.
No, I don't think
that's there are those types of people.
I don't think Marchand has any lines about – he said – he had the whole thing about saying something about Russia to Panarin earlier this year that caused the glove to be thrown. I don't think Marchand has any lines.
But I think Panarin was being a baby.
Yeah, I know you think that. But I – like for me, it's almost every single time – like Marchand was finally getting a lot of people to like him after his like chirps on Twitter about Arizona and like he had a pretty good year with nothing going on. But then it's like he does this – these things every once in a while that it's like, bro, every single time
it's hard to like
people
him.
Start to like
it
you.
To like
it's
him.
Yeah.
Yeah. Like the tweets were funny. I'm not going to lie. Yeah. Like calling Carolina like a poverty franchise. Love it.
You're love the reason it. We play escrow.
Yeah.
Yeah. Nobody hates Carolina more than Ty. So.
Yeah.
He moved up to my
And then
there.
About Arizona too. Like it wouldn't even good. Be a difference or whatever.
Yeah.
Okay,
it might actually be a sellout.
Yeah, we should talk about Arizona after, and kind of what Batman was saying.
Did anyone? Just out of curiosity, this reminded me. Did anyone watch the All Star stuff?
No.
Not even
okay,
slightly.
So
oh, we should talk about the Zebras. Okay.
Yeah, so
I think it's a good statement on the All Star.
But like, the most interesting thing that came out of the All Star game was like Gary Bettman's press conference.
Wait, before we get onto that, I do want to talk about the Marchand thing a little bit more. I think, and this is what I was talking about in the group chat, is so many teams call the Leafs soft or any other team soft because they don't respond
to
players that do
about this side, right?
Yeah, and no one responded to Marchand taking a sucker punch to Jari and then taking a swipe at his face. Like, no one, this Crosby literally saw the thing happen and all he does is like
and
hold
didn't
Marchand.
Even touch him.
Didn't like, even touch
didn't
him.
Didn't even touch him.
It was, I was like,
good. And that's your goalie.
Yeah, Crosby. Right? Like,
and that's
yeah,
your
that's
goalie
Crosby.
Who's been like an all star goalie this year. And
no,
could win the Vezina.
Crosby's boy. So,
yeah, he probably likes Marchand more than his
I was
goalie.
I was just like, man, all these teams called the Leafs weak. And then this happens. I don't even think the Leafs would allow that to their
probably
goalie.
True.
Crosby was probably like, you fucked us in the playoffs last year. Let Marchand take a fucking swipe. You
maybe
know
Crosby knew
that
like
you
Jari
know.
Crossed the line with his statement too or something.
Maybe. I don't know, but I just like
he's
I think
probably
it's
cheering
so
on Marchand in that situation. Let's
if I was on the ice when if Marchand did that, I'm tackling him. Like there's no way no anyone's doing that to my teammate. Like there's absolutely no way. And like,
you didn't see what Jari did in the playoffs last year. You don't understand.
I think we're at the point now where Jari's should have earned some forgiveness based on his performance this year.
I agree.
But he was performing well before the playoffs and then just crapped the bed.
That's true. I don't know. I was just blown away that no one.
I'm also very surprised that not any one of us watched anything All-Star related.
You're not surprised?
I'm not surprised I didn't because I've literally never cared about it.
Honestly, I was like, my dad was like, is there hockey on today? I'm like, yeah, it's on at like 7 o'clock tonight. There's the All-Star game. I'm going to watch it. And then I went on my computer at 5 and I'm like, oh, all the games are done. Okay. It's Vegas. Why are games on at 12? Like their time. I'm like, this is stupid. I mean, I guess all the players wanted to go out, but I was like, I thought for sure it'd be a late night event. And
I honestly forgot it was happening until
All-Stars is an afternoon event, I'm pretty sure.
I really only care about the skills competition, and I didn't even know that was on the Friday night.
That's the night thing.
I thought Sunday was the game and Saturday was the skills.
Because the players have to get out early because they have to go back home the next morning.
And play games like 2 days later. Yeah.
And practice that day. Like Ottawa had a practice on Sunday.
They didn't really have any all-stars, so they shouldn't have had any all-stars, I mean.
They had Brady.
They shouldn't have had Brady.
Yeah, so they shouldn't have had an all-star is what you're saying.
Did you see I saw something on Twitter about Bergeron and Suzuki meeting for the first time. I'm like, haven't these guys played against each other before? Like it was the most awkward interaction I've ever seen. It seemed so forced. And then I was like, because
it's Bergeron and the next Bergeron.
Yeah. but no, I didn't watch anything. But onto the presser. Man, what is with Gary Bettman in Arizona? It's got to be a money laundering thing at this point. There's no other excuse. There's no other reason for it to keep being a thing. It's got to be money laundering.
I bet he has a bet with some guy, like one of his buddies.
He's like, I bet I can make this work.
How does he look? Like, you should have seen how smug he was in this whole press conference. And he's like, this 5,000 seating arena might even be better than how it is right now. This might work out perfectly.
It will be better from a profit basis for the Coyotes, to be fair. You think they're getting 5,000 seats filled every single game and maintaining an NHL arena versus maintaining a college hockey arena?
Also, they're going to have
very different economics.
How many of these tickets are they going to be giving away? Like, if it's a 5,000 seating arena, like they probably give away like 4,000 of those tickets.
They're probably, it's probably in a good location. They're probably going to get a bunch of college kids in
there. Are they adding seats? I'm pretty sure they're adding seats.
They probably won't even sell out 5,000 seats anyways. So,
what were you saying? That was
do you actually think they will? I don't think whenever I look at an Arizona Coyote game, I don't look at that and go, oh, there's 5,000 people there. I go look at it. There's like 200 people there.
I don't know.
So Gary Bettman, to be fair to him, probably it's a little bit better for the Coyotes specifically, not for any other NHL team, because that's just embarrassing. But for them, they're probably going to lose less money.
It is
an NHL arena is very expensive, very expensive to maintain.
And I'm just thinking, I don't think the college facilities, in Arizona,
they have to update the whole thing.
You're an NHL team coming there. Like, come on.
Apparently they have to create whole new dressing rooms and stuff.
There's dressing room standards per the CBA. Right.
Yeah, exactly.
Like, so I know it's totally different, but at Western's hockey arena, maybe Carlton's hockey arena, it was a 1,000 seats there, maybe, right?
Yeah, they're not comparable.
But the dressing rooms are things that I had in I rented the ice a couple times, at the Western Arena where the Western Mustangs played, and the dressing rooms are literally like house league hockey, rec dressing rooms basically. I'm not maybe college is a bit better. It looks like it's a bigger stadium than most Canadian
NCAA
universities.
It's probably better, yes.
But it's Arizona, is what I'm trying to say. It's not like it's Minnesota or Michigan or something like that, right?
But that university should have a decent amount of money. I think they're a pretty big school.
Which school?
Isn't it Arizona
State or something?
Is it? I don't think it's I could be wrong. Anyways.
But the thing I was gonna talk about with Gary was him just casually mentioning they might move Montreal's draft.
Oh yeah,
and that was so because Daly was like, oh, we'll probably just go.
It is Arizona State.
And then Bettman's like, oh, no, we might just move it.
Because Gary Bettman's pissed off that Canada still has restrictions for the next
Bettman's
2 weeks.
Quite
I think.
Pissed.
It's realistic that you're pissed at this point.
Yes, I agree.
Maybe by end of season, but yeah.
I mean, if you can't have a draft in a year where other places could have it way better, where all the fans are allowed and the players are allowed. You can't justify that it's in Montreal. Who cares? Who cares? Do it next year.
Yeah, who cares?
I agree. Yeah.
It's like, what, you're not going to make new fan, hockey fans.
But I think they'll be open. Like,
very rarely do I agree with Gary Bettman, but this is one case where I'm like, you know what, Gary? Yeah, who cares?
Yeah, move it. I don't even know what, like, why.
But I don't think they'll move it. I don't think they'll move it.
I don't know where they had it last year. I don't know where they had it the year before.
It was virtual. It's virtual.
True.
Virtual the past 2 years.
I'm just saying, who cares where you have it? I mean,
they definitely want it in person this year.
The teams do.
It has to be in person.
The teams don't really care. The cities care. It's
the teams that are hosting it caring thing. Is what I mean.
Especially if Montreal is first, they would be so mad.
Because they'd sell out that building.
Oh, they'd sell out for sure. Yeah.
Yeah.
It could be huge. It'd be a huge event.
I think it's. But, I think it's better. Definitely, yeah. I agree. Like the virtual drafts aren't as good because, like, when they draft someone, they come up on stage, get the photo.
It was so awkward. You're in someone's house.
All of us only watched the first round, anyways. But
yeah,
but you're literally in somebody's house, and it was like so uncomfortable.
Yeah, I like seeing like the trade floor and figuring out who's going where and having eyes on that. I don't really care about the draft.
And then they get to film all the behind the scenes stuff, and they release it like 2 years later.
You get to see Brian Burke without a tie on, like the classic stuff. It's great.
The real show,
like a scarf.
Yeah. Refuses to wear a tie. I don't know. I just didn't like that was the part where I'm like, who cares? Move it. Like that makes sense. That makes full sense. The part that, and I read on Twitter like a good point today. If Ottawa was going through the same through that Arizona Coyotes were going through, and like they kind of are in some sense, it's like that team would be moved in an instant. Like I honestly just don't understand the bias that Arizona gets from Bettman. It just doesn't make any sense.
It's
because, let's be real, guys. It's because Austin Matthews came from Arizona, and he wants the next Matthews to come also from Arizona.
Matthews is going back to Arizona,
and he's going back there, so he knows Austin Matthews is going to save that franchise and bring them back to glory.
If that ever happened, I would. If Matthews went back to Arizona at this point, I would have to think Bettman was involved in some way with like a $100 million side deal.
Oh, dude, there's gonna be so many conspiracy theories if that happens.
Like Bettman's like tells Dubas and the Leafs that they cannot. You're not
also,
allowed.
I don't know why. There's no reason Austin Matthews like would go there, even if they were doing okay. Like you're literally a god.
Besides Arizona, it's
better weather,
and he's from there.
Yeah,
I mean that's pretty enticing.
I think he likes Toronto though. Like when I look at Austin Matthews, I just look at him and he's like I can't see him living in Phoenix, Arizona.
Pulling girls.
Well, the other thing is
I can't see him living in the place where he lived most of his life.
No, what I mean, like I can't see him like.
Yeah,
I look at him now and he's like a big city Toronto boy. Well, I mean,
he lives downtown Toronto. Yeah. I don't know 100%.
He's not getting the same endorsements the second he goes to Arizona. He's going to be forgotten.
I think we talked about it last week, right? Like, I don't think even if he was, Arizona's all-star, I don't think he's getting multi-million dollars from, a gambling site.
No.
Just to stand there and show his
He'll probably get more like just as much local stuff.
Okay, this is a good question for these guys. They've been talking about how Connor McDavid's the face of the NHL. Mm-hmm. Lately, it feels like because Austin Matthews is in Toronto, that Austin Matthews is the face of the NHL.
Austin Matthews is the face of the NHL.
And is he the face, or is he already? Should they say he is the face, or is he already?
Not only is he the face, he's the best player in the NHL.
Ty was gonna go there immediately.
But Ty, look at the points. He doesn't have more points than any.
Yeah, that's what Martin. Martin says that out of the top five players in the league, Matthews is fifth on his list.
I think Austin Matthews is a better.
Connor McDavid has more followers than Austin Matthews does on Instagram.
But
I'm
like Connor, when I look at Connor McDavid, especially Connor McDavid's
press
conferences,
that's because they pitch Connor McDavid as the face.
But have you seen?
Should they pitch Austin Matthews as the face?
They should. Have you seen Connor McDavid in his his recent press conference, especially when Edmonton loses and he's like a whole pussy baby and
he's awful.
Yeah. Connor, how do you feel about the Oilers signing Evander Kane?
Ovechkin. Ovechkin's interesting.
Yeah.
It's like the Crosby versus Ovechkin debate. Like Crosby was never, no offense to Crosby, he was never interesting. Ovechkin was entertaining as hell.
Anytime
you watch Ovechkin, you're like, okay, this is
when I think of
person.
When I think of those two, there's two things that I think of about Crosby. There's that commercial, like it was like in 2006 or something like that, where they had all the NHL players in the hotel. Do you remember that? They were just like causing shit. Do you guys know what I'm talking about?
Yeah, I know what you're talking about. Yeah.
And there was Crosby and Ovechkin in that commercial. That's the first time I remember seeing Crosby's personality. The second funny thing about Crosby's funny Crosby press conference and, you know, him being the face of the NHL is when mumps was going around. He was like in this press conference and his cheeks were like this, like puffed up. And they're like,
"That's not very good luck."
Crosby, do you got the mumps, buddy? He's like, "No." And then he had the mumps.
That was the most entertaining moment of Crosby's career off the ice.
Do you guys remember that? Like, it was crazy. Yeah. Like, there's just a picture of Crosby, and he's like, his cheek is like,
he has two faces.
Yeah. Probably the most entertaining person in the last decade has been PK Subban, or like Sean Avery. Sean Avery was always he wasn't classy.
Yeah, but he wasn't a big name, so it didn't.
No, but he wasn't a big name.
If you're talking about big names, it's Ovechkin, it's, you know, Subban,
Matthews.
Well, now Subban sucks, so. Ever since he went to New Jersey.
I think Austin Matthews is the face of the NHL he's probably shared just as much, if not more, than McDavid on, like, the NHL PR. But I think one of the everyone hates Toronto, so. Anyone would see Austin Matthews as the face of the NHL, they'd be mad.
McDavid
has
200,000 more followers than Austin Matthews. That's all.
Did you
200? It's really that much.
Yeah, Connor McDavid 980,000. Matthews 760,000.
Man, we're looking at Instagram.
NHL followings have nothing on basketball followings. It's
sure. And then they have nothing
also,
on fucking soccer followings.
In addition, Matthews gets more likes than McDavid on most of his stuff. So,
did you see
Matthews probably has double the engagement.
Did you see Connor McDavid's Instagram takeover of the CCM Instagram at the All-Star game? It was like, which skate do you put on first, left or right? It was like the most bland, boring ass stuff I've ever seen in my life.
I think I do left first. I think I do left. How about you?
I think I do left too.
Man, I switch it up.
Like, I don't even know. I don't remember. It's been so long since I've been on skates.
Martin, do you shoot right or do you shoot left?
I shoot left.
You either shoot right or you shoot wrong. I don't shoot right.
You don't skate right.
That's a joke someone told me back in the day. Either shoot right or you shoot wrong.
I don't really think there's much else to talk about. Craig Berube got a 3-year extension for St. Louis.
Keep going.
Oh, you don't care. That's all I got.
It's time for
bed.
That
was kind of the big stuff. Jordan Kyrou won fastest skater.
Yeah, again, McDavid. Like, everyone's talking about how great McDavid is. He ain't even the fastest skater in the league. I bet Ilya Mikheyev would have actually won that.
Probably.
If only Mikheyev was an All-Star.
Did you like Trevor Zegras' goal, Ty?
Okay. Saying, Zegras doesn't
Ty, answer
you,
the question.
Huh?
Ty, answer
like,
the question.
It was cool. Definitely see through the blindfold.
The biggest debate from the All-Star thing.
Conspiracy theorists.
Oh, Zegras being underage and drinking?
No, him not winning the.
No, people were freaking out over it.
It's true. It was a fake tweet, though, I think, or something like that.
People were so mad that Zegras was drinking underage by like 2 weeks.
That's
as if Vegas doesn't let anyone drink that they want. Like, you know that's where they get their money.
That's what Luke
Calls. He's also drinking age.
We're saying, yeah.
Is he?
No, he's not.
In Canada.
Yeah, but he's not in Canada. He's in Vegas.
Yeah,
he's
not
like
21.
Fuck. So many of these people in the league are Canadian, so they've been drinking since they were.
That's not how Vegas and the States work, bro.
But people are mad about him drinking as if like it's.
When you were 18, you went to Quebec every weekend. You went to Hull, Quebec, cross the border, and drank there. And then
no, not every weekend. There was many drinkings that were done.
Remember that Martin was a year older, so he was drinking.
Okay, but Eric, yeah, you went to Quebec. when you were 18 to go to the clubs in Hull, Quebec. For literally sure. Just walk all, across
all
the
I'm
bridge.
All I'm saying is it's been
it's called not here.
It's called Sin City for a reason. You think you're gonna draw the line at drinking underage?
Dude, the amount of like you're gonna get mad at that. The amount of underage people that get into a club in Vegas on any given night.
Yeah. Anywhere actually. Not even Vegas, just like anywhere.
I mean, posting it like, online was probably pretty dumb, but
dude, yeah. I know so many girls that literally they went to Vegas at like 19, 20 years old, and you just get a promoter and they just get you into the club. It doesn't matter how old you are.
No one cares.
You look hot. You look hot. They get in. Like that's all.
Yeah. Eric, it never happened. So, it would never happen to you and I, though. We don't got the pretty privilege.
No. I don't look. Yeah, I don't have pretty privilege.
You're also not women.
Sure. No, it was.
You also
it's so funny.
Have
it happens
to worry
everywhere
because you're so old.
I have a nicer butt than a lot of those girls out there. Though,
but it happens everywhere. Like I was. So this is not Vegas. This is a last story time that I gotta go to bed. But I was like somewhere in Toronto. There's like this lineup of people. We're standing in line for an hour. And, you know, there's like 20 people in line. It's barely moving. They're like, we're at capacity, sorry. But then these people just keep coming in who are like all girls. And they're like all, you know, like really pretty. I'm just like, life
ain't
fair.
That's not happened to me.
Yeah.
To be fair. That just happens to Ty.
It happens. I don't
know. But yeah, Trevor Zegras not waiting.
To wait in line when while we were standing there for an hour where all the ugly people are waiting outside for an hour. You know, and it's just like, okay, come on in. No room for you guys, but you guys can come in.
Anyways, all that's to get a ticket out of the episode. Thank you everyone for listening.
The bang parts where it's stopping, man.
I think you should keep this all in.
Shut up. Stop talking.
As your boss.
Shut the fuck up, man. I'm trying to finish the episode. Thank you everyone so much for listening to the episode. We'll see you next week.
Thank you everyone for tuning into this week's episode. We love and appreciate each listener that sticks around to the end. With that comes reminders to leave a review, press follow on those streaming platforms, and make sure to head over to Instagram to follow Talking Hockey. We're on the road to 30K and we can't wait to continue to build our audience. Luke, Eric, Ty, and Martin signing off. We'll see you all next week.